Hi, this is Alan.
And the Grizz.
And just a few quick messages before the start of the episode. First of all, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. If you can, we really appreciate it if you can rate and review us at the end of the episode, obviously, on your podcatcher of choice. Ratings and reviews are how we get onto the charts. Really, we would really appreciate it. Also, if you subscribe on your podcaster of choice, that'd be fantastic. We are going to be airing episodes every Monday. Also, if you want to get in contact with us, well, you can email us at rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
You can also get in touch with us on our Facebook, which is Rise of the Robots, and our Twitter, at podcastrotr. That's podcast R-O-T-R.
And finally, just a reminder that Rise of the Robots is held under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 4.0 International License. Enjoy the episode. Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm the Grizz.
And welcome to Rise of the Robots, a Robot Wars rewatch podcast. This week we are rewatching the 1996 US Robot Wars event. So, this event took place in August of 1996, and it was the third ever Robot Wars event, and it's fair to say this is the one where it starts to get quite a bit more close to the BattleBots we know.
Business has picked up.
In fact, this particular tournament, the heavyweight tournament in particular, there are three real standout robots.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But we'll get to that. So the event, I'm just getting the details of the event up on the screen, and I'm going to edit this bit out. So this is the part where you can say Tornado's a and I can beep you.
Tornado's a penis and a
okay. So
you should just blank that bit out, but uncensor penis. So it's like, beep, penis, beep.
So, anyway. So, the 1996 US Robot Wars took place from August 16th to August 18th in the Fort Mason Center in San Francisco. There were four weight classes going from super lightweight, which would later be known as featherweight, lightweight, middleweight, and heavyweight. The tournament was held under knockout rules, though it's a bit weird, the formatting. But all the I don't think any of the tournaments actually have a clear... Well, no, tell a lie. I think the middleweights, there's eight of them and no one gets a bye.
But yeah, these early tournaments are very bizarrely set up. Just all the time.
Yeah. So we get on... So we'll start off with the featherweight division. Now, the featherweights, the way that the first round works, they have double battles.
Yes.
So, I believe you actually ended up talking about this in the interview that you did.
Yes, you may have clocked over time that I was talking about an interviewee that I kind of didn't bring up the name of yet because I wanted it to be a surprise for when we stick the interviews in. But I did an interview with a man that was there, a man in the featherweight division, a man who fought these bizarre fucking rules. Yes, I spoke to Andrew Lindsay, who was the driver of Spike and Spike 2, who you'll be hearing about Spike in this episode and Spike 2 in our 1997 episode next week. So he explained to me what exactly was going on here, because it is very confusing. Basically, what he said in a nutshell was, four robots go in, but they're having two singles matches.
So what, did they just cut the arena in half, effectively?
With an imaginary lane, yes.
Okay.
So, you know, like other, like for example, Wedge of Doom takes on WYSIWYG, and Gigan takes on
KMM.
So KMM could effectively just go over and start attacking Wedge of Doom if it felt like it.
But there's no benefit to it.
There would be no benefit to it.
So Well, I should talk about the arena. So the arena's fairly similar to 1995. The main hazards being the two Nets of Doom.
What did I keep calling them? I called them something constantly during my, like, fucking...
Tennis landed. Rackets, maybe?
I think I just kept calling them Goal Nets.
Goal Nets.
Yeah.
And so there's also... I can't remember if it's 96 or 97 now. There's barriers that kind of come out.
Yeah.
As well. So basically spiked barriers that are on a... So the arena's constantly moving around and...
Which is very intimidating. Just when you start a match and then like everything's all just flailing about the place. There's like those wishy-washy things at the sides.
Oh, the sweepers, yeah.
Then there's the walls and then there's the nets. But then the robots are standing still and you're like, what the fuck am I watching? It's like fucking Pee-wee's Playhouse or something.
So the first match, as we said, was Wedge of Doom versus WYSIWYG. WYSIWYG, who would obviously later go on to appear in Robot Wars.
Did you see the origin story that was in the documentary?
Yes, I did.
Did you recognise who that was?
Yes, Eric Dickerson, the Robot Wars judge.
Yes. That was insane, man. As soon as I seen WYSIWYG, it's like, you're not that woman, you're...
Well, to be fair, they do say he is the only Briton to have competed in Robot Wars in America.
Yeah. Didn't say who it was with, though.
And he didn't say for how long.
Once.
Yes. So Wedge of Doom very quickly pins WYSIWYG and KMM, which is...
a former featherweight champion.
Yes, that's the handsy robot, isn't it?
Yeah, the one that we... The Hugbot.
The Hugbot of Doom.
Yeah.
And Hugbot of Doom defeats Gigan.
We are going to be panning through these first round matches very quickly because most of them are only about a minute long. Not really much happens. Oh. And this pinning rule that they have this year really makes a lot of matches incredibly dull.
I think that's the issue that we do have is when we're talking about these events, particularly the featherweight battles, are very much... they aren't much more than remote control cars and armor plating.
Yes, Spiny Norman.
But you know, at the same time, that was the technology available at the time, so we can't sit and say that's...
Well, I mean, yeah, we can, but we also can, because when you have something
it's better than anything we could have built at the time.
I mean, yes, because I was six.
Anyway, getting on to the next match, we'll just kind of blow through these as quick as we can. So there's Dragon Wagon versus Pat.
Dragon Wagon.
And Mad Dog versus Melvin.
You Melvin.
Now, I have no idea which robot is which.
Well, you could tell what Dragon Wagon was. It was the one that looked like a dragon wagon.
So...
and Mad Dog and Pat are combining their names to make Matt, like I just did. Both look the exact fucking same, so...
So, all that I can tell is... what I've got the notes here is... no idea which robot is which. One robot gets slammed into the barrier, meaning that the robot that slammed it wins within seconds. The other winner's opponent breaks down in the corner. So the winners coming out of the event are Melvin and Pat.
Yep, I'm pretty sure Pat was the only one of the three left standing at this point.
Yeah.
Because it was the kind of the only one that was dancing about the middle of the arena.
Yep. So we get on to Black Sheep 2 versus Nezumi.
Which looks like it's had absolutely nothing done to it since last year.
And Bite Me versus Arsenic. Yes, Black Sheep is still white.
Yep. Still looks like it's made out of wood. And still goes at the speed of fart.
You don't see a lot of Black Sheep 2 versus Nezumi. Most of the match you watch in the video we see was Bite Me versus Arsenic.
Which is probably the better fight of the two.
Absolutely. Black Sheep does seem to be stuck at some point. However, it does eventually drive out. And Nezumi stops dead. And Bite Me pins Arsenic.
Yep.
So Black Sheep 2 and Bite Me come out with the victory.
Edgar the Hate Bug versus Spike and Rampage versus your mama.
The camera work is really bad in this movie. I mean, we said that. It's undoubtedly someone in the crowd who's just very generously has filmed this and we've been able to get a hold of it.
Which is now, considering you've said that, now it brings me to the point of the fact that we go back to the documentary that I'm referring to, which we also did watch and we'll maybe have a quick chat about after. All that stuff was professionally filmed! Just give us it!
Honestly! No, I saw bits of it, and that's what does get a bit frustrating. You're sitting there going, so there is a professional film that's been made.
Yep.
Anyway.
Because it's weird watching the professionally filmed stuff and then watching that same match back being recorded from someone in the audience. I'm like, fuck. It actually goes to show that video cameras were actually half decent back in 1986.
So anyway, bad camera work aside, Spike pins Hate Bug. That is Spike driven by Andrew Lindsay.
Woohey! Friend of the show.
And Yamama wins by...
Yamama!
Wins by knocking Rampage out.
You gotta put some stank on that.
Yamama!
There you go.
So next up is X2 versus...
Sponky Monkey.
And My Little Pony versus Spiny Norman Free.
Sponky Monkey.
And Spiny...
Sponky. What the hell is Sponky? Sponky. I mean, I get what... Never mind.
So,
I think that was just asking to be made fun of.
Just one slightly funny thing. My Little Pony and Spiny Norman Free are both made by...
Jeez.
A man named Will Wright. They're two different people, both called Will Wright. My Little Pony, the guy behind that, well, we've mentioned this before, is Will Wright, the man behind Maxis Software, which is the company that produces The Sims.
Huh.
And My Little Pony manages to overcome its doppelganger named opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And it... So it gets caught by My Little Pony's tape, and Spiny Norman is able to immobilized by My Little Pony. On the other side, X2 with its lifter manages to flip over Sponky Monkey very easily.
You said it. Red 2 versus Roach and the Spiked Master versus Triple Redundancy.
So Triple Redundancy is a cluster bot.
Yep.
And Roach is a walker.
Roach is something.
Yes.
It just from the video that I seen, all I seen was like blue fucking plastic bags flailing about.
Yeah, there's
no actual movement from the robot itself.
Yes. So, effectively what happens is Red 2 and Roach, Red 2 gets a knockout victory because at one point Roach just
stops
moving, and Triple Redundancy and Spiked Master end up having a draw?
Yeah.
So, basically, Triple Redundancy gets all caught up in its own tape.
Mm-hmm.
As does Spiked Master.
Yep.
And
but then I would still say that, like, Triple Redundancy knocked out the Spiked Master by using its weapon. Granted, it knocked itself out. And this is the part that makes this bracket now weird. Because it's a tie, they both advance.
Which means that one of the robots in the next match actually gets a bye.
Yep. Because these next matches don't happen at the same time either.
No, they don't, for some reason.
Slow-mo takes on Ziggy.
So Slow-mo decides to attack the net instead of Ziggy. Ziggy's very slow, eventually seems to go dead, mm-hmm. and Slow-mo comes in and pins Ziggy.
Yeah.
And then we get to
Buffin T. Pusa
versus Lorena.
Lorena.
Lorena is the weirdest looking thing ever.
It looks like the mother of Banshee.
So,
if you remember what that robot looks like.
It's ostensibly, I'm assuming it's meant to be an axe bot. But basically what happens is, in its momentum, when it stops, it has this doll holding a blade on top of it that leans down. So I'm assuming it's meant to be some sort of axe mod.
In the documentary, they interviewed this guy, and he's like, she's kind of just for show. The main weapon is this, and points at like a slope of metal.
Yes, because there's two robots built by this guy. So I think basically there is this version of the light in the super lightweight, and then there's the same robot. And it's literally the same robot with a different weapon system on it.
Yeah.
Is the lightweight robot.
Nice.
Anyway, to go into the actual match, Lorena spends the whole time flopping about.
I mean, well, yeah, I can put it any better way myself.
Bugford D. Pusser. Pusser.
Bufford. Bufford T.
BTP.
BTP!
Gets underneath Lorena a few times. It does seem to get stuck at one point. And then Lorena starts spinning around, almost loses balance, and
yeah,
then just
this
stops.
Is awesome. It was just the way that, like, because you couldn't really see the actual robot, you just started seeing Lorena just like, woo! Oh, it amused me highly. That was the only note that I had for this match.
Yeah.
And then it was, and then Lorena? Lorena? How the fuck do you pronounce it?
Lorena.
Lorena breaks down. Womp.
Yep. So we'll move on to the second round. This is where it gets weird. So there's 14 robots left.
Okay.
Which doesn't make sense tournament-wise.
No, because then that would thingy down to 7.
Yes, exactly. So we start with Wedge of Doom versus KMM.
Yep, pretty much Wedge of Doom just kind of overpowers KMM, pushes him against the wall a couple of times,
and rams him into the nets of Doom, and then into the wall and gets a pin.
Boom.
Next up, Bite Me versus Black Sheep.
Bite Me.
Bite Me gets a grip of Black Sheep, which tries to run away.
Mm-hmm.
Bite Me catches and holds onto Black Sheep at the net of Doom. And then eventually the two robots get stuck in the corner until Black Sheep goes dead.
Yep, I pretty much just wrote, Black Sheep gets bullied in this match.
Yep.
And he keeps running away.
Next up,
Melvin versus Pat.
Which is your typical two fast bots zooming around each other, dodging and shoving. Eventually, Pat dies.
Yeah, Melvin does lose a bunch of wheels, which is quite interesting, but still managed to hang on.
Next up is Spike versus
Yo Mama,
and again it's a back and forth dodging match until Spike gets underneath.
Yo Mama, sorry.
Between the sweeper and the net of Doom, with Spike getting the victory by pinning Yo Mama.
Pinning your mama while she's getting the spike. You can't make this up, ladies and gents.
Nope. And next up is My Little Pony versus X2.
Sip of unnamed alcoholic beverage for the working man.
So, My Little Pony manages to get the tape out, which is what its weapon is, the Tape of Doom.
Mm-hmm.
X2 is able to...
Yeah, because it starts driving, and then the gold net just plops down on top of it, and you just see it fall off, and you're like, "Oh."
Yeah. So X2 keeps on trying to get side on to My Little Pony, can't seem to turn it over. Eventually, it manages to get My Little Pony flipped.
Ah, My Little Pony. Red 2 versus Spike Master 2. Love 2. So there was a lot of avoiding in this match, and then Red 2 gets the pin on the Master of the Spikes.
Yeah, in a shoving match, Red 2 wins the push match. So next up is Slow-Mo versus Triple Redundancy.
This was fucking awesome, this match.
Yes.
Is this the one I think it is?
So Slow-Mo, what happens is the cluster bot's weapon is tape.
Yep.
So Slow-Mo gets caught on the tape that falls off one of the cluster bolts.
Yeah.
And it basically, it manages to get one of the cluster bolts turned over.
Uh-huh.
Another one of the cluster bolts gets stuck in between the sweeper and the wall. So you just look over and this cluster bolt's just getting...
thwack, 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 thwack.
And then Slow-Mo uses the tape that's stuck to it to tape up the remaining cluster bots. And it basically, it starts dragging around this cluster bot and it pins the one that's trapped in the sweeper to get the pinfall victory.
One of these robots from Triple Redundancy, I'm sure, was it Kitty Yum Yum? Like the biggest one, I'm pretty sure, was in a previous year event as its own thing.
It might well be. Was it the same? Can you check if it was the same team?
I can, and I will.
And
right, just checking to see where is Triple Redundancy. Right, so Cassidy, you're right.
Whilst you do that, Buford T. Pusser, because it's the only way to make the tournament work as a format, gets a bye into round three, which is then the quarter finals.
It was Fuzzy Yum Yum. And yes, it was the same person. So there you go.
So Fuzzy Yum Yum
joined by his two pals to make Triple Redundancy.
So, as far as I can see, do we actually have video of the quarterfinals?
We don't.
We don't. So Wedge of Doom defeats Melvin. Spike defeats Bite Me. Red 2 defeats X 2. Slow-Mo defeats Buford T. Pusser. We then get to the semi-finals,
which we still don't have this match.
We still don't have this match, so we don't get to see Andrew Lindsay's unfortunate defeat to Wedge of Doom.
To his future tag team partner.
Oh!
Remember the Spike of Doom?
Yes!
From Long Beach, not Long Island, like I keep wanting to say. I just kind of wish that I'd now had this interview like before we started season 3. But it made so much more sense.
Yes, absolutely. So
we did get to see Red 2 versus Slow-Mo 3, though.
Yep. So Red tries to get into a pushing match, while Slow-Mo is just trying to get into position for its... Is it a wedge that it was trying to use?
Pretty much. It's kind of... Slow-Mo 3 kind of reminded me a bit of... Well, what's this called? Not Detonator.
Demolisher?
That one.
Slow-Mo finally gets behind and it tries to push Red. Unfortunately, Red pushes back and pushes so far that it's able to get a pin on Slow-Mo, leading to a final of Red 2 versus the Wedge of Doom.
I feel like there needs to be thunderclap or something there.
So this is the final of the featherweights, the big one, the fight we've all been waiting for. It lasts and less than 30 seconds.
Yep.
Wedge of Doom immediately pushes Red into the wall and gets a pinfall.
Thank you. Good night.
Well, we're not quite done with the featherweights. We have some melees.
Yes. And because these are very well produced as well, they tell you at the beginning of every fight who's in it. So we don't have to play the guessing game that we've had to do in previous episodes.
And have to do in future episodes.
Yes. So Melee 1, Arsenic, KMM, Melvin, My Little Pony, Spike, Spidey Norman, WYSIWYG, and X2.
Spidey Norman gets turned over very early.
That was fucking hilarious.
WYSIWYG goes dead at some point, which means that Arsenic, KMM, My Little Pony, and X2 are declared as victorious. So something must have happened to Melvin at some point, I can't remember.
Yeah. Melee 2 was Bait Me, Yo Mama, and Mad Dog, and this lasted about 8 seconds.
Yeah. Yo Mama seems to have disappeared.
Yes.
To mine. And Mad Dog wins after pinning Bite Me.
Melee number 3, Black Sheep 2, KMM, Melvin, My Little Pony, Spike, Where'd you doom? WYSIWYG. And X2.
So, WYSIWYG goes dead immediately. Black Sheep is stuck on top of Spike.
As usual.
KM goes dead after being struck on the top by Wedge of Doom. Spike gets free from its Black Sheep prison, but Black Sheep is dead.
Yep.
Wedge of Doom and X1 are battling. So X2 are battling, well. At some point, WYSIWYG is turned over. My Little Pony's not moving. Wedge of Doom pins Spike, which then goes dead.
So near the end of the video, you can actually see Black Sheep in the background just moving ever so slightly.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know, man. Maybe you should look at fixing that robot. Just a little bit.
So the final two robots are Wedge of Doom and X2. Wedge of Doom is able to ram X2 into the wall and it takes the victory.
Melee number 4. Arsenic. Rampage. Red 2. Roach. Oh, good. Salomo 3. Spidey Norman. And Triple Redundancy.
Triple Redundancy gets itself stuck up in tape. Eventually Spidey Norman joins them. At the end of the battle, Slow-Mo frees the only robot moving.
I wrote Tripe Redundancy there. Melee number 5.
The very exciting Bite Me versus Dragon Wagon versus Edgar the Hate Bug versus Gigan versus Mad Dog versus Nozomi versus Pat versus Ziggy.
Ziggy. So Dragon Wagon is funny and I like him. That's my first note.
My note is quite simple. Every single robot breaks down.
Yep. One of my last notes says, it all kind of stops after all robots were inactive, so no winner. Fun. And melee number 6. Slow-mo, Wedge of Doom, and X2.
Wedge of Doom is the main aggressor early on, though it seems to lose drive on one side. We have no idea who actually won because the footage stops after 90 seconds. However, according to runamok.tech, the winner of the Super Light Melee was X2.
Okay.
Which joins the Wedge of Doom as the 1996 Featherweight Champions.
Huzzah!
Hi guys, Alan.
And Chris.
Here with a slight break from the main show. Just say thanks to the people without whom this podcast would not be possible. Firstly, to Greg Watt, who designed the Rise of the Robots logo, before I butchered it slightly.
Also want to give a quick shout out to Technolax, who do our theme song, Master Machine. You can check out Technolax on YouTube or their website at technolax.com to listen to all of their royalty-free tracks.
Now we will move on to The Lightweights!
Uh-huh.
Which, thankfully, is a much smaller tournament.
Yes.
So
featherweights are always like the biggest tournament in any of these that you find.
It's always like they're the easiest to build.
Hmm.
So
just because you can doesn't mean you should.
So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There are 13 robots.
Unlucky for some.
Yep.
So we are going to start with Attila the Hun.
Versus Gator.
Gator.
Which Attila the Hun chases Gator, eventually getting underneath from its weapon and ripping up out its underbelly.
Yes. The thing with Attila's weapon is, I feel like it's a saw weapon, but they're going in the opposite direction, so they kind of lift robots up on top of Attila.
Well, it's similar to the robot I'd probably most compare it to is Blade from Season 3 of Robot Wars, where it's basically a giant lawnmower blade-type weapon.
Yeah.
Which, no, you would want it to be spinning in that direction because it's actually, you'll notice most vertical spinners spin in that direction. Yeah. Because you want to be hitting up, because the problem is if you hit down, it basically put
you on top of them?
No, it puts all the pressure on you. Mm-hmm. So basically, if you're striking down, you're basically pushing yourself down.
Yeah, because I remember, I think it was a concussion once in one of the later seasons of Robot Wars, put on their drum backwards, and then they said after the fight, like, any time we got near them with the drum, we just kept going over them because we put the drum on backwards.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, the last thing is just, like, because it goes so slowly as well, it doesn't look like it's meant to actually be a cutting weapon. I think it is sort of meant
it's
to be more of a
weapon. It's meant to be lift and mince.
Yeah.
Mm. Next up is Big Shot versus the Enforcer. Big Shot keeps on trying to dodge the Enforcer's weapon. Unfortunately for Big Shot, Enforcer is able to eventually pin it.
I was just trying to figure out what the Big Shot actually was, because it just looked like it had a massive cannon on its back.
Yes.
You tell the Big Shot, the Big Shot's looking for him.
And next up, emerging...
Everyone's favourite. The reigning champion.
Scrap Heap. The garbage bot's back. It's Test Toaster.
One.
Yes, it is Test Toaster 1.
Which would imply that there's supposed to be a second one, which we never see.
This time it is facing Snickers 2.
So absolutely no changes to Test Toaster 1. Not even a paint job.
Nope,
same old thing.
So Snickers is a sort of cube robot. It drives into the corner and starts spinning. And then Test Toaster comes and goes, oh, I can do that too. And it swings its axe into the side of Snickers and pins it.
Mm-hmm. Cyclo Clunge versus Flipper. Wait, it's not Clunge, it's Clunge?
Clunge. Psycho Clunge.
I think I like my name better. Psycho Clunge!
Psycho Clunge! Oh, for fuck's sake. Right, that's not going to work outside Scotland.
I've known about Psycho Clunge in my time.
That's a horrible thing to call.
No, that's not who I'm referring to for once.
No, we'll cut that bit out.
I just cut that bit out. But the rest of Psycho Clunge. Yes.
So Flipper dodges the charging...
Anyone under the age of 18, do not Google what clunge is on the internet.
Psycho Clunge charges at Flipper, but misses. Eventually, Clunge hits Flipper with its spinner, getting several hits, though none of them seem to do any damage. The spinner goes dead, but Flipper seems to be having issues with its left wheel. The Flipper gets caught by the sweeper and goes dead, giving the Psycho Clunge victory. Next up, moving very swiftly on, SPS3 versus Happy Funbot. Happy Funbot looks like fucking nightmare fuel.
It does a bit. Like, during the documentary, they cut to the driver of Happy Funbot, and he was like, there's his nose, and just taps the fucking chainsaw, and it's like, there's his eyes, it's like, oh thanks, I wouldn't ever guess that one, well done.
So, SPS3 is trailing streamers whilst the chainsaw on Happy Funbot is producing a lot of smoke. The weapon goes dead after removing one of SPS3's streamers. It does start up again. Eventually, SPS3 seems to get stuck onto Happy Fun Bot before pinning it against the Net of Doom mechanism.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot of net action going on here. There was SPS nets, and then there was the net in the arena.
Oh, of course, yeah. SPS3 has its own net that it shoots out.
No, that's the one that's got trailing on the back.
Oh, okay.
It's Satoru Special that spits the net.
Sorry, you're right enough. You can tell this is... We've watched a lot of out-of-context video clips all together.
Yeah.
And it's kind of merged.
And it goes to show that I watched them a lot more recently than you did as well.
Yes.
Because I tried to watch everything as close to... thingy as possible, so I remember it more, and then you get things where you need to skip out some stuff to get the more important stuff in.
So, next up is Eviscerator versus Wonderbug.
Match of the century!
Yes! So,
Eviscerator drives in a circle and Wonderbug doesn't even move, and both are DQ'd for lack of movement.
Yes.
Get out of here.
So, as a side effect of this, it means that we only have 3 quarterfinals, starting with Attila versus Enforcer.
So, Attila seems to use its saws to get in under the opponents a lot, like I've mentioned before, which it does to Enforcer in this match by getting it up and on its saws and winning by immobilization, I presume by, like, upwardly pinning?
Well,
it kind of pins.
What happens is the way that it's the way that it works, Enforcer charges at Attila a couple times and gets turned over. Eventually, Enforcer gets stuck on top of Attila, which Attila moves and Enforcer doesn't.
Yeah.
So it's deemed to be that.
But that's like the,
Attila has pinned.
That was part of the pinning rule, was like, you're allowed to pin your opponent for 30 seconds, but then you specifically need to move away to prove that you can still move.
Yeah.
I did not like this pinning situation, and I'm kind of glad they got rid of it.
As am I. Next up is,
we're going in deep now,
CK versus Test Toaster 1.
What does CK stand for?
You already know. So, both robots attack, and Test Toaster gets his axe stuck inside CK.
Inside the clunge.
CK seems to be a bit stronger. Both robots get stuck against the sweeper and try to pull free. The spinner of CK seems to be very ineffective.
Yeah.
It's quite a back and forth contest. It's actually probably one of the better matches. It ends up going to an audience vote at the end.
Did you notice that there was one point where the camera, like, it cut to one of the cameras, and it was clearly someone that was, like, right beside the Roboteers, and you just heard one of them just screaming, like, just pure, like, I don't know, I was winning this how to go.
Yeah.
Like, it was very, like, agitated. I mean, this was kind of when they were, like, both stuck against the wall.
Yep. And then the final semi-final.
Yes, the match has stopped. Test Toaster 1 is deemed the winner by crowd audience.
So we get to the final quarter-final. SPS3 versus Speed Bump.
Pardon me.
SPS3 manages to wrap up Speed Bump Instant Tanglement Tail. It's mainly a shoving match. Though, interestingly, Speed Bump at one point does seem to go dead, but comes back to life.
Yeah. There's definitely a point where I thought it was over because it looked like SPS3 pinned Speed Bump against the wall. But then the match just kind of ends and it's like, oh, we're going to go at the crowd.
Yeah, at some point it does look like, towards the end, it looks like Speed Bump is actually going to pin SPS3, which at that point would have probably been a bit unfair.
Yeah.
Because it has been SPS3's match most of the time. SPS3 gets plenty of time to repair, however, because their potential opponents couldn't drive, they get a bye to the final.
Bye-bye.
In the meantime, Test Toaster 1 takes on Attila. So, the notes over here are a bit confusing. So, it cuts immediately. Mm-hmm. The start of the video is Attila underneath TT1.
Yeah, I just wrote match started in progress.
And then TT1 gets Attila stuck onto its weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And then, doesn't say how or why,
doesn't really,
Attila wins.
Not much really happens. And then Attila has just declared the winner. I imagine there probably was more to this match than what we got to see, but
yeah. So we get to the final of the lightweights, which is Attila versus SPS3.
Yep.
Two robots dodge around each other until SPS3 randomly goes dead and Attila gets the pinfall victory.
Yay! Nice and quick.
There's two melees, one of which Lorena turns up, which is Speed Bump.
Okay.
So 3 robots get jammed together.
Hear that noise?
3 robots get jammed together, leaving Lorena as the only robot still moving. Elsewhere, SPS3 and Happy Funbot are fighting.
I'm happy.
And eventually, Flipper and Speed Bump, aka Lorena, wins.
Oh, that's odd.
Melee 2 has TT1, Enforcer, and Gator. TT1 gets stuck on the arena barrier very early on, and then Enforcer pushes around Gator until Enforcer goes dead, which means that Gator wins.
Nice.
And that's the end of the melees. No indication of what the tournament format was. However, apparently the Reina 2 is the lightweight winner, which, considering that she didn't actually take part in the tournament, is very impressive.
Very.
So we move on to the middleweights, and as we get onto the middleweights, we finally get onto some quite interesting robots.
Yes, who'd have thunk it?
So we'll start off with the main tournament, which actually works properly.
Yes.
There's 8 robots, they have fights, the 4 winners fight each other.
The winners of those fight each other again, and we get a champion! Jinx!
Fuck you. So, the first match is Agamemnon versus SSP.
Yeah, try saying that name fast 5 times. Agamemnon, 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 Agamemnon.
So,
yep, Agamemnon, driven by Dan Danknik from the BattleBots pay-per-view fame.
Yep, and Satura Special 3, which now has added surroundy spikes so that no one gets underneath them,
mm-hmm.
and a net on a gun.
And spaff net.
Satura Special launches that net at Agamemnon, which stocks the, which kills the saw blade.
Yeah, because like the thing is, like they came in for their collision, and then it seemed as if Satoru Special almost died like right away, and then as its like last ditch effort to try and do something, it's just like, because like it put delays, and then it's just like you just see the robot shake for like a second, and it's just like,
take my net, bitch.
No points for guessing why I'm making him laugh so much. I did already call it Spaffnet, so yeah. You know, use your imagination.
So anyway, Agamemnon takes the victory.
Oh, I misspelled Agamemnon here. Agamemnon.
So next up is Pokey versus Scrappy.
Oh dear. Good job Pokey and your mama weren't in the same match.
So Pokey is a giant box on wheels.
Yep, with a mule-style flipper device.
Yep. This match actually ends up getting a restart.
This is bullshit!
So the first match, Pokey basically gets turned over.
Pokey kind of goes in for an offensive move, and then it kind of activates the flipper, but then it topples itself over somehow.
Yeah, and Scrappy kind of pushes it over. But the way Scrappy pushes it over, it gets stuck on top of Pokey. So it's deemed to be a draw and they restart the match.
Boo.
So Scrappy and Pokey lock up again. Pokey is unfortunately powerful and fast relative to Scrappy. And eventually Pokey is turned over.
I think pretty much the same thing happens again.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing happens, apart from Scrappy doesn't get stuck on top of Pokey. So next up is The General versus Trax.
The General.
So The General has a very impressive display where it goes in a circle.
Mm.
Until it's pushed to the wall by Trax and starts to smoke.
Fun.
And
I mean, I suppose it was in 1896. Smoking was still allowed to be legal inside
yep.
buildings.
So we get on to the final quarterfinal, which is Up and Over versus Scorpion. Now, Up and Over is a bizarre looking thing.
Mm.
So what it is basically there's a central robot, and then behind it is a giant crate that's half open. And the other half of the crate is put in front of the robot as a lifting scoop, And I take it the idea is that it picks up the robot and flips it into the rear basket, and then because it's stuck in the rear basket, it's pinned. I'm guessing is the idea.
Never once implements that movement, because in this match it finally finds a point where it can sneak in, because it is a very, very slow moving robot as well, but manages to get in at one point, flip Scorpion up and over, and Scorpion is dead in the water, which is something you hear a lot from the commentator throughout these matches.
Yep. So we move on to the semi-finals, starting with Scrappy versus Agamemnon. And Scrappy goes, I like it when the match has to be restarted. So we're going to do it again. Scrappy is covered in nets this time.
Yes.
Ironically, it gets caught up in one of its own nets. And then Agamemnon somehow ends up stuck on top of Scrappy, which is already dead. So they go, restart the match.
Chorus of boos. Boo!
So, the match is restarted. Scrappy is shedding.
Yep.
The two collide, and Agamemnon ends up losing one of its blades in a net. Does manage to get its spike stuck into Scrappy.
Mm-hmm.
Scrappy is very sluggish, and Agamemnon, it gets stuck on top of Scrappy again, but this time it's deemed to have won by knockout.
Yeah, because they were probably sick of it at this point. So yeah, okay, you fucking win. Jesus.
So next up is Trax versus
Up and Over.
Two robots try to lock up. Trax doesn't seem to know how to attack.
No.
It's kind of what do I hit here? Do I hit there?
What even are you?
So Up and Over does manage to get flipped underneath Trax, but it gets free. Up and Over then turns over Trax, but Trax is invertible, so it keeps going. Eventually,
Up and Over just kind of just dies.
What happens is that the way the weapon works, it basically lifts itself off the ground.
Yeah.
And it gets stuck.
Centered.
Yep. And the final is Trax versus Agamemnon. Both robots are very cautious at the start. Agamemnon seems to be in a much lighter configuration. Trax eventually gets hit by one of the nets of doom and goes dead, so Agamemnon wins the championship.
Yay! Yeah, very quick victory once again.
Yep. There is one melee, which is a lot of the robots show up. I think it's all eight of them.
Probably.
Aga is pushing around Trax and Up and Over. It then pushes Scrappy into the wall. Pokey and Scrappy seem to be struggling. And eventually, Aga is the only robot moving again.
Of course.
So Aga Menmon picks up the double victory.
Double champ.
In middleweights.
But that brings us on to the big boys, the heavyweight division.
Yep. Hey guys, Alan here. Just taking a quick break from the podcast to let you know that if you are enjoying this podcast and you want to hear more, the whole archive is available either on your podcatcher of choice or on the Audio Boom website. Alternatively, if there is some other podcasts you would like to listen to between listening to us, there is a list published on the Robot Report of several of the most popular podcasts, a botcast list, as it's referred to on the website. We will have a link in the description of this podcast. So, on the botcast list at the Robot Report, it lists the podcast in question, a quick description about the podcast, and all the links that you can go on to access their episodes. The podcasts that are listed include Behind the Bots, Extreme Scrutiny Club, Roasting Robots, Roboteers Stand By, The Drop Zone, The Robocast, The Robot Wars History Podcast, The Shuntcast, and of course, Rise of the Robots. So if you check out that page, it will give you plenty of listening between now and your next episode of Rise of the Robots. Let's get back to the final part of this week's episode. We get on to the proper fighting, and boy does the heavyweight division step up. Let's be honest, it's not been a great show up until now, but man, the heavyweights are good.
Yeah, let's do this, because we start off
with a qualifying round.
Yes, we start off with Biohazard versus Robot Redford Jr.
Robot Redford. I wonder where they got the idea for that name. So,
can't think.
Biohazard goes, okay, everyone else has had fun. Biohazard charges in, tries to flip Redford, misses. The second flip, it lifts Robert Redford, but doesn't flip it over.
Ugh.
Third attack, doesn't miss.
Boom.
Pinfall victory in an absolute domination. Next up is Terminal Frenzy
versus Nemesis.
Not that Nemesis.
Oh.
It's a box that gets hammered a lot.
The end.
Frenzy just wails on Nemesis.
So, we know what Frenzy then ends up looking like in the future, with his giant, oversized axe. Do you think that the shorter axe might have been a bit better of usage for them? Because I feel like this one actually done damage.
I think it's always difficult, because you don't know how much of the damage is internal.
Yeah.
I think it seems to work better with this formation, but what do I know?
Let's see over time.
Next up is Kilborg versus Thwack, which is a giant tank versus a bar spinner.
Kilborg was another one of these robots that was in this documentary, where they were showing off the pneumatic spike weapons, and then like just a second after that, for some reason, they just had like one of their team members put their hands on it and start trying to push against it while the robot was pushing the guy. And it's just like imagine one of those pneumatic spikes just went off. That would have went straight into that guy's fucking kneecap.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Safety, ladies and gentlemen, was not a thing back in the day.
Oh, we'll get to that. We will get to that. So, the spinner on Thwack looks very unstable.
Yeah.
After the first collision, it goes dead. Kilborg rams Thwack into the wall over and over again until it eventually gets the pinfall.
Next
is Frank versus Gut Ripper.
How many like robots have people names? Quite a few, because there's someone called Bob Smith in one of these up and coming ones. Mm-hmm. There's Frank, there's Barry.
Yeah.
Pretty sure there was somebody else.
So, Gut Ripper is this sort of plastic box with sores on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't actually remember what Frank looks like.
A bit like Stinger, except it's a big barrel.
Right. Okay.
With a
mallet-y
thing on
it. It's basically a barrel with a mallet. No, you're right enough.
Yeah.
So,
good old Frank.
Frank takes a while to get over to Gut Ripper. Gut Ripper's weapons take a wee bit of time to get going.
But when they do,
they do end up shredding apart chunks out of Frank and the wall as well.
Yes.
Huge chunk out of the wall. And eventually it takes a knockout victory.
This is one of the matches that they showed in full during the documentary.
Yep.
And this is probably one of the first ones where I was like, can't believe they have all this in professional quality.
Yep.
Mm.
So next up is Punjar versus Red Scorpion.
Man, Punjar looks different.
Yep. So Punjar is, it's quite an unusual show. Basically, it's a flat box with its weapon on top of it.
Mm. a flail mace kind of weapon.
Yes, it's a very strange looking thing. Red Scorpion is effectively a barrel with a lifter slash axe weapon on the back of it.
And big old wheels.
Yeah, so the idea is basically it hooks down with an axe, with its axe,
uh-huh.
and at the same time, there's a lifting blade on the back of it, so it could, in theory, flip robots over.
Yeah.
Just don't realise we're not actually describing the robots all that much. Red Scorpion, at one point, so getting onto the fight, Punjab gets trapped on the net of doom very early on before pushing Red Scorpion into one of the yellow nets. Punjab does get quite a few hits with its weapon, but it doesn't seem to be doing any damage. Now, I'm sure Punjab gets a pin here.
Hmm. There's a lot of, like, fast and loose kind of, was that a pin, was that not a pin kind of things yeah. in a lot of these matches.
So,
because there's a lot of times where I've wrote down, looks like blah blah's broken down and blah blah's getting a pin, and then I look and the match lasts another 2.5 minutes. I'm like, well,
obviously not.
Delete that note.
So, Red Scorpion finally gets its stinger axe weapon onto Punjab, which has no discernible effect.
Nope.
Eventually, Punjab tries to turn over Red Scorpion, and it gets a second and final pin.
Yes. I cannot wait to get out of 1996 with these pinning combinations.
And next up is Munch, which is a pincer bot versus Namrico 3000, which is a weirdly decorated circle. Barrel.
Looks like a kettle.
Yes.
With a flipper.
Both robots lock up in a shoving match. It's not really that clear who's in charge. However, Munch manages to get its jaw wrapped around Namrico, which I think counts as a pin.
Yeah. Not much happened else in this match.
So, the rest of the qualifying round is robots that are given a bye,
yep.
which is Vlad the Impaler,
Prometheus,
Doomor,
Steel at Work,
The Merrimack,
Marvin,
La Machine,
South Bay Mauler,
Taz,
The Master,
Rex,
and Blood Letter Jr.
So, we move on to the first full round of the tournament. And it is Biohazard versus Hammerbot Frenzy. And this lasts all of 20 seconds?
Thereabouts.
Biohazard takes 2 attempts to get underneath Frenzy. Once it does, it flips Frenzy over.
Yep. Frenzy tries to self-right, but doesn't make it.
Nope.
Maybe that's why they put the bigger axe on.
Next up is Gut Ripper versus Killborg. It's quite a cagey start to the match. Gut Ripper does manage to get a few good pushes.
Feels as if Killborg tried to use its spike at one point and it just kind of broke.
Yes.
Like it looks as if it like overshot out.
I mean, it looks here twice that Killborg actually manages to pin Gut Ripper, but it wasn't counted.
Yeah.
What ends up happening is that Gut Ripper gets underneath Killborg and basically rips one of the tracks out of Killborg.
Mm-hmm.
However, it then gets jammed between the wall and the sweeper, which means that as Killborg crawls away, it picks up a victory.
Crawls being the key word.
Yes. Anyway, next up is Munch versus Punjab. Munch is horrifying when you actually look at it.
It's just a lot of sticky out stuff.
Yeah. So, Punjab is quite cagey, but it manages to push into Munch. Munch appears to be having kind of drive issues.
Which it did seem as if it was having in its first match, and was just lucky that Namrico kind of drove into him to make it look like he was thinking an attack.
Basically, after about 3 or 4 attempts, Punjab eventually gets a pinfall attempt, and it gets the pin.
Yeah, I just wrote Punjab wins by pin in a very boring match.
Yep. Next up is Prometheus versus Vlad the Impaler.
Is Prometheus one of the most overused names in robot combat?
I think so.
Because I can think of at least 3 robots
called Prometheus. Same.
Hmm.
So, Vlad the Impaler is designed and built by one of the people behind La Machine.
La Machine.
So, of course, it goes for the charge tactic.
Oh, yeah.
Prometheus tries to go into charge, can't get straight. Bard goes, I'll show you how to do it. Pushes and rams it into the wall, and then just goes back. Charge and ram! Back. Charge and ram! And by this point, you're like,
stop, he's already dead!
He's already dead! Charge and ram! By this point, Prometheus's ancestors are screaming in agony. Charge and ram!
Stop.
Stop!
Charge and ram! That's gonna be my fucking text tone.
So, we go on to Doomore versus Steel at Work, which is absolutely scintillating as two robots don't touch each other until a net attacks Steel at Work and it dies. The net of doom strikes again.
You're going to find that there's a lot of us mentioning this over the course of the next couple episodes of, and then it just dies randomly.
Yes. It's the same thing happens in Robot Wars at this stage as well. There's not a lot of reliability going on.
No. And then, like, there's, like, a lot of robots, it's like, oh, well, it just dies randomly. And then you get the robots that you know, like, your La Machines, your Vlad the Impalers, your Biohazards, your Tazbots. They're always really reliable.
Yeah.
And it figures why they always went on to be, you know, some of the biggest names in robot combat.
Yep. So, next up is Merrimack versus Melvin. Which... one of the robots is lumbering about with an unstable weapon.
Uh-huh.
The other robot is making lots of noise and smoke, but barely moving, and keeps driving into the wall.
Yeah.
Merrimack, which is a four-sided wedge. It's like a pyramid bot.
Yeah, so all the bits kind of flap out.
It's got like, it's like flirty skirty, except full body.
Nice one.
And after about a minute, Merrimack remembers it's in a fight and pins Melvin.
Dull.
Yep, absolutely. One robot that you certainly can't use of being dull, La Machine!
Well, actually, Mauler is
versus Mauler.
Yeah.
So you've got the full body spinner versus
Spinner.
La Machine. And La Machine would not be La Machine without the charge! La Machine charges and sends Mauler flying.
Oh, yeah.
And it just rams and pushes and prods and slams Mauler.
It also now has this kind of little, like, pokey bit as well that kind of comes out, like, to... it's like a small flipper thing.
Yeah.
So it's like it scoops up and then it's just like, boop.
But it is.
It kind of gets stuck open in this match, though, I noticed. Or I don't know if it's just to maybe give extra...
I don't know if it's maybe it is just a permanent piece, as it's maybe like a permanent thing because the scoop's maybe just too sharp.
Maybe.
But basically, La Machine controls the fight. Doesn't kill Mauler, so it still goes to an audience vote.
Yep.
But as you could tell if you were listening to the crowd throughout the fight, La Machine has the crowd.
Absolutely.
They very much play to the crowd as well.
The thing is, like, I've always heard of La Machine, and I was like, I don't get why this robot's been hyped up so much. Seen a photo of him, goes, that is it? That is La Machine? Now going back and watching all these matches, big massive La Machine fan. Push spot done right.
I do have
one. And one that doesn't even need to cheat.
Are you saying that a robot cheats?
I'm saying specifically that Tornado.
That's gonna beep. Now, one final note, which is right at the end of the video, One of the team goes to start work on shutting down La Machine.
Mm-hmm.
As the Mauler's weapon is still spinning behind him.
Yep, I noticed that as well. Yeah, because they all wandered out. Like, didn't they wander into the arena and be like, oh, let's hear it for the crowd for La Machine. And Mauler's just sitting there like... It's like, should you not maybe stop that before you open the fucking doors?
So, I mean, it's 1999. There's no history of Brabant's going berserk. No, it's 1996. Oh, God, even worse. Oh, that'll be wild. And there's no history of Brabant's going berserk by this point.
I know. I'm surprised that, considering the Mauler was at in 1994 when they didn't even have barricades.
Yes.
I'm surprised someone didn't kill themselves.
So.
Or someone else.
Next up, the second last fight in this round is Taz versus the Master.
The Master.
The champ is here!
Hmm.
So the champ is back with his soul blade and flipper combination.
The Master is a lot bigger looking this year.
Yeah, it's an enormous looking thing.
Bigger, blacker.
Now, Taz is a robot that Taz is a robot I don't think we've seen before to this point.
I think this might be in his debut year.
So Taz is a very unique design. So it effectively, there's two parts to it. The weapon is a flipper, but the flipper is on top of a fully articulated like tank head.
Yeah.
So basically it's got a flipper / axe / spinner weapon.
/ defense weapon. So which is something it uses very, very well.
It's a very unique design.
And if you ask Donald Hudson, he'd say that he should just get the award for just having the best looking robot.
I believe he already said in an episode that we've not covered yet. He does say exactly that.
Exactly that. Because it's just like, because that's just so such a Donald Hudson thing to say, because he's always been quite up himself about his robots.
Quite confident.
But by all means, like I do say, oh, he's up himself a wee bit, but you know, for very good reason. He's a fantastic robot builder.
So, getting on for this match, Master charges straight in, manages to get its saw right onto one of Taz's tires.
Mm-hmm.
Now, thankfully, Taz is
able. Kind of gets locked in there for a period of time, kind of stuck in that position.
Yep, and then. Eventually what actually happens is the Taz manages to use its flipper to basically grip the Master. And eventually what happens is after manoeuvring, the Master gets stuck again by Taz.
Mm-hmm.
Taz grips it with its flipper, takes it off the ground, and you just hear the saw blade go dead.
Yep.
And then Taz gets the pin.
Yeah.
Taz chokes out the Master.
We literally, that was some MMA fucking robot combat fucking shit.
I wonder if he was inspired by a certain wrestler that was getting a bit of a rep at this point.
Someone with a one name thing that also happens to be named after a certain cartoon character.
It's a mystery that will never be solved. Not today,
I mean, it's like, remember, like, all those times, like, where I'm always like, you know, every now and again, am I trying to associate wrestler theme songs with robots?
Yep.
There you go, Taz. Taz with Taz.
Yep.
Apollo Crews with Apollo.
So, we get on to a Walker fight!
Okay, so I'm pretty sure there's two videos for this.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, but I assume they're both of the same fight.
So, Bloodletter Jr. versus Rex.
Rex.
Rex won this fight.
Somehow.
Somehow, but withdrew from the tournament.
Because it caught on fire. Like, really caught on fire.
Oh, is that the one that catches on fire?
Yeah, because, like, see the other video, you actually see Bloodletter Jr. in it, which you don't in the first one that I provided to you.
Yep.
So Bloodletter Jr. comes in with his big claw weapon that has, and actually looks like it was dominating the fight for a bit, but then it just dies. So Rex was still moving, And then it was like, okay, right, well, Bloodletter's dead. Rex wins by...
default.
By default. And then Rex blows up.
Yeah. Which is quite lucky in a way, because otherwise there would have been 9 robots in round 2.
Fun.
So anyway, we get on to...
I really wanted to see Rex versus Biohazard.
So next up is, speaking of Biohazard, Biohazard taking on Killborg.
Killborg.
And Killborg manages to last the whole 38 seconds.
Congrats, it tried to use the spikes to no effect.
Yep, and eventually Biohazard goes, fed up, bored, flips over.
I'm not getting paid by the hour.
Right.
They get paid by the minute.
Just to describe Biohazard. So Biohazard is a completely flat rectangle with a lifting arm. So it's basically, it's got 4 rams that lift the arm straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, straight and forward.
Yeah, it's a lot like Griffin from season 2 and 3 of Robot Wars.
Except good.
Except good. And now I want to see it. Biohazard versus Griffin. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it.
Are all of those robots still alive?
That's a good point.
Anyway, Punjab versus...
That'll make it even more interesting. Like, both of them will try and raise their arms and they'll just snap off to rust.
Punjab versus Vlad the Impaler. So Vlad... At first, Vlad the Impaler doesn't actually go on the attack. It actually lets Punjab come to it.
Mm-hmm. Come into my power lair, says the spider.
And then Vlad, much like Biohazard, goes the same.
Yeets!
It goes, bored now! Charges in, flips Punjab off.
Yeah.
Next up is Doomor, which is a strange looking beast, and Merrimack. Merrimack gets underneath Doomor straight away. However, Merrimack's able to get too many M's.
Yeah, then.
Robots maneuver around each other. Eventually, Doomor pins Merrimack.
Somehow. Yeah. Because they kind of go into the corner, and then neither of them really come out, and then it's just like, oh, Doomor wins. And it's like, it does?
And then finally, we get on to one of the first real high quality matches in terms of 2 robots involved.
Yeah, let's face it, these final. Well,
this is the last of the quarterfinals, yeah. And it's La Machine versus Taz.
La Machine.
So, Taz, not really that impressive here, unfortunately.
Well, I can definitely tell that, like, this is the first version of Taz, and it's not the evolution of Taz that we know and love and seen a lot of during BattleBots.
So, Lao Machine goes in for a charge, misses its first charge, it doesn't miss its second one, it nearly tips Taz over at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It does tip it over with the next charge.
It knocks half its head off.
Yeah, it knocks half its head off, and eventually it leaves Taz stuck on top of the wall.
Mm.
So basically there's a layer of barrier before the actual barrier.
Yeah.
Biohazard likes this part of the arena very much.
Sure does. And this is probably one of the greatest matches of all time.
Vlad the Impaler versus Biohazard. Now, this match gets quite controversial.
Mm-hmm. Because also we should say that this is the version of Biohazard that doesn't have its infamous skirts.
Yes.
During the documentary, there was a short bit backstage where they spoke about Biohazard and said that there's like a segment of its armour that's like got like anti-flip devices in it or something, which evidently didn't work.
So this match gets very competitive very quickly. Vlad actually manages to get Biohazard caught on its spike, and it looks like...
Yeah, had him completely off the ground.
Yeah, it looks like Biohazard's done. Eventually Biohazard manages to get free, it lifts Vlad up, and basically the two robots are going to get stuck together in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It's then deemed that Biohazard pinned Vlad.
Yep. So Biohazard then pulls it. Because it was the point where, like, this was the kind of thing I was talking about earlier. There was the point where, you know, they were both not moving, and then you heard the announcer say, Biohazard, if you're able to back away, you will win this fight. Yeah, and then Biohazard kind of
backs away slowly.
And then Vlad the Impaler comes in.
Yeah, and then what happens is Vlad the Impaler almost seems to ignore the fact it's lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, and it charges up at Biohazard and goes, yeet!
Yeet!
Turns Biohazard over to a massive boo from the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
The crowd is
such a heel.
The crowd is absolutely furious, and Biohazard is turned over. Oh no,
Biohazard!
If only it could.
It's
the streamer! Biohazard self writes
for the first time in Robot Wars history, a robot rises from the ashes
and self-rights.
Jinx.
You actually hear the crowd going, oh no, he's not.
It gets about halfway, and then that's the extent of the flipper, and then the flipper kind of locks back in, and then it's like,
yeah.
And then Vlad's just sitting there like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
That was my best shot, even though I've already lost.
So, after that cracking match, we get to La Machine versus Doomall. Now, La Machine dominates. It is chasing, it's pursuing, it's ramming. Doomall does not get a single offensive attack in.
Doomall do nothing.
And then what happens is La Machine rams Doomall into the Net of Doom. Now, the Net of Doom, as we've kind of mentioned, is this device that, it's this giant net that kind of flops down,
yep,
back up. La Machine hits Doomall so hard, it bounces up into the net as it's standing up and gets stuck.
Just... It is probably one of the most, like, entertaining things I've ever seen. Like, just the absolute pinpoint precision and timing that it took to do that. And I don't even think it was even deliberate, but that just made it even better.
And because it's suspended over the ground, Doomall is out.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about, like, if you're not going to win, you want to at least go out in a blaze of glory. Let's face it, was that not one of the best fucking ways to lose a match? Yep.
So we get to Biohazard versus La Machine. Undoubtedly the two best robots in the show.
Got a little moist watching this one.
So, so the two robots keep fighting for position. Biohazard does get its lifter underneath a couple of times. It doesn't seem to be able to get La Machine over.
La Machine.
Until something falls out of La Machine.
Yeah, it seems like the bottom of La Machine just kind of
collapses.
Like the inside of it just collapsed.
Yeah, it's basically Biohazard gets a side on, charges it. You see something fall out the bottom of La Machine, and then next thing you know, Biohazard's lifting La Machine over.
And it is all over.
Biohazard is the champion.
And could stay that way for a very long time.
So there is...
There was a couple of bonus matches as well. I don't know if you've seen them.
Three. Yes, there was a few bonus matches.
On top of the melees, obviously.
On top of the melees. So we'll go through the bonus matches first. Bloodletter Jr. versus Rex, which I think ended up just being...
I'm pretty sure was just another alternative version of the one we saw.
There's a bonus video from the pits.
Yeah, they just kind of introduced all the robots.
Yep.
There was Psycho Clunge versus Mad Dog.
Yep.
It's like, can you just like let me take this one?
Yep.
So Psycho Clunge cannot get his weapon going at all.
It's having weapon while dysfunction.
Oh dear. So Mad Dog and Under Cyclo, and it just, they both just kind of stop. They sit there for like a death grip for like 2 minutes, and then the match ends. And
sounds scintillating.
Yes, it's fantastic. And then Mad Dog wins by crowd vote.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Then there's Pokey versus Satoru Special 3.
Yep. Pokey barely starts. And then Special does the spaff net.
Yep.
And then Pokey just kind of wanders forward awkwardly. And then they finally come in with some offense, shoving Satoru a couple of times, trying to flip it a few times. And then all of a sudden, Satoru Special just stops and Pokey wins. Even though Pokey took so long to start that you would argue it was already dead as it started.
Yep. And the final match is Red Scorpion versus the Master.
Yep. Master got some soy business on Scorpion. And then Scorpion manages to get Master in the corner. But then Scorpion, like, I feel like can't seem to move either. Mm-hmm. Kind of has Master like kind of locked up in the Scorpion tail thing, and then you kind of see like Master is still moving, trying to like break free, and then the match kind of just ends, and then it's deemed that Scorpion won the match, even though I would argue that Scorpion was definitely dead and Master was the only one showing any signs of movement.
Right, okay.
Very curious.
So we get on to the heavyweight melees. So we have, the first melee is Killborg versus Nemesis versus Punjab versus South Bay Mauler. Most of the match is two sets of robots shoving into each other for 2 minutes. And then they swap partners and they shove into each other. And all of them are alive by the end of the match, so they all go through to the melee at the end.
Fun.
It's not in there. It's for some reason that's just the... If you scroll down, yeah.
Don't know why I kept them there.
The next melee is Frank versus Gutrip versus Marvin versus Robot Redford Jr. versus Terminal Frenzy versus Thwack. It's all a bit chaotic. Gutrip and Marvin are the last two robots standing. The next melee is Namrico 3000 versus Merrimack versus Red Scorpion versus Taz. So Namrico gets turned over by Merrimack very early on.
Mm-hmm.
Taz pins Scorpion, and then what happens is Scorpion seems to be leaking fluid everywhere.
Goo.
Well, go to that video.
Sure.
So we've got the video in the background. Wait till you see the state of the floor.
This one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's just oil leaking. Now, it's not quite clear if it's from Taz or Red Scorpion. But Red Scorpion's struggling and Taz isn't. So.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, by the end of it, the floor is just...
Covered?
Covered in oil. And it's... Yeah. Whoever's leaking... lost a lot of blood. However, everyone apart from Namrico goes through to the final battle.
Okay.
Then we get to the fourth and final melee. And talk about a jump in quality. Biohazard, Doomor, La Machine, the Master, and Vlad the Impaler.
One of these is not like the others.
So, the Master... The Master is going crazy and is cutting massive chunks out of the floor.
Yep.
La Machine starts to push Biohazard and then Vlad the Impaler around. At one point, the Master, bored of taking chunks out of the floor, decides that its weapon system and it have to have a divorce.
Uh-huh.
And they split in half. And
then Master becomes a cluster bot.
And yeah, the saw goes crawling off. And the Master is an axle going around hitting everyone with a little hammer.
I'll give Master credit. He's got balls.
Yes.
Just balls.
So, all of a sudden, it becomes the La Machine show.
Mm-hmm.
La Machine pushes Dumont over the moving barrier.
Which is quite... I think this one is quite interesting. Like, the how powerful it is, and the way that it can get such a bizarre shape, like Dumont, over on its head, the way it did.
And then... I mean, it's taken out Biohazard, it's taken out Vlad the Impaler, it's taken out Dumont. Literally the only robot left that...
is a full robot.
Is
the Master doesn't really care very much anymore.
It's not even that. It gets to the point where La Machine gets bored. And it just goes, Biohazard! Get up!
Get up!
Get up! I want to beat you some more.
Fight me. La Machine. La Machine's awesome.
And we get to the final fight, which is 11 minutes long.
Fuck.
So, I be honest, I didn't watch it.
Fair enough. Nor did I. Just because I had a lot of stuff to do, and
again, the same thing happens that happened in the previous match. It's all a bit chaotic until La Machine takes control and wins the match.
You're right.
And that brings us then to the 1996 event. Now, you mentioned there's a documentary. There's some awesome interviews there with, amongst others, there's an interview with the master creator, Mark Satrakian.
Which, fun fact, WWE, did you know that he built all the robots for a future season we're going to do when we discuss the Robot Combat League?
Oh, he did all of them. Wow.
Yes.
I was surprised none of them had giant balls.
I mean, they also, I'm sure there was a couple of nutshots in there.
They also have some great interviews with Donald Hudson.
Donald B. Hudson.
Of Taz. Raymond Washburn of Red Scorpion. James Strauss with Satura Special.
It also does show some of the matches that we talked about in full.
In professional quality.
In professional quality. And again, give me those. Please and thank you.
They also have John Colquhoun being interviewed, who's Happy Funbot. Eric Dickinson is there with WYSIWYG. And the last interview is La Machine with both team members, including Greg Monson.
And you also get to see one of the matches that I speak about with Andrew Lindsay when he mentions that WYSIWYG from the United Kingdom takes on a robot from France in an international fiesta. That's not the right word.
Fiasco.
At all. An international clash. And also such things as the team member of Kilborg that pushes the robot that's clearly active in the pits. And other bizarre things. It just goes to show that in 1996, health and safety was not of anyone's concern.
There were some other prizes gave out. So, prize for best autonomous robot was Gladiator Rodney.
Okay. Where was he?
I'm assuming he was demoed at some point.
Okay.
Strangest robot was Spunky Monkey.
Okay.
Best engineering was Biohazard.
Oh, what a surprise.
And best design was Biohazard.
What a surprise. Oh, yes. Looking through my notes of the 1996 documentary, there was one point during one of Pat's matches where it actually went under the doors of the fucking arena and ended up out in the fucking crowd for a second. And then, like, one of the people just standing there just kicked it back in. And then, after the Vlad the Impaler versus Biohazard match, like, I wrote while I was watching this in pristine quality, It was like watching Hogan and Savage in their prime. And then after the match was over, they opened the doors, and then the driver of Biohazard just drove Biohazard back through the pits. And there's all these people just pure stepping out his way, like, oh, well, fuck, sorry, Biohazard, on you.
There's all that. Biohazard is like low to the ground. It's not the easiest robot to see if you're not looking for it.
It's a fucking robot that someone is driving about in the backstage area. Like, just pure cash as you like. Just in front of people. It was so bizarre. Plus, look how good this looks.
Like, oh, wow.
Like, this was... How did they not release this? Like, just as... Because wasn't like the 1995 US Open meant to be like the pilot for UK Robot Wars?
Yeah.
And so it's like, right, so you had two more of these afterwards. Why didn't you just like fucking have Jonathan Pierce commentate over these or something? Like, because this looks excellent. Oh man, I think I was it there. Aye, here. So it's like, right, okay, Biohazard, let's go. Wee. Oh shit. Shit, Biohazard's here. There's a woman with a child in her arms.
How often am I going to edit this?
Right, so I'm just showing you that clip. What do you think? Is 1996 enough for you?
Scared.
I mean, let's face it. At least it was only just Biohazard. Yeah. Imagine it was like the fucking Master or something like
whoa,
that.
Whoa, whoa,
or Mauler.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway.
I mean, if Biohazard's reasonably fast, if he fucking accidentally pressed that forward button too much, yeah, that would go right through your shins.
Ugh. Absolutely. So that brings then to our coverage of the 1996 Robot Wars. We'll be back next week with 1997.
And so just before we go, I'm just going to leave you with a little part of the interview that I done with Mr. Andrew Lindsay. So, yeah, as we say, like, Spike did compete at the Robot Wars 1996 show. Is there any specific memories that you may have there as a roboteer or just as a spectator as the whole show kind of went on over the... Was it a course of a weekend or was it a one-day event?
That was a weekend event. I believe it was a Friday through Sunday, and it was really different than modern events. No one knew what they were doing. Everyone was just trying completely different random things that you would never see today. Because, you know, people have figured out how to make a robot that works.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, back then you saw people putting chainsaws and power drills and things like that. And there were also a lot of robots that use things like nets and sticky tape that aren't allowed these days. And I what I learned from that event was mostly having a good wedge and a lot of pushing power will just win you a lot of matches by itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably back in the early days, that seems to be the way to go.
My first match was against a robot with a chainsaw, and I had plastic armor, and you'd think chainsaw is good against plastic armor, but it didn't really do much to me, and then I just pushed their robot into a wall and broke their chainsaw, so...
was that the Edgar the Hate Bug?
Edgar the Hate Bug, yes. Yeah. Their robot was a chainsaw and four power screwdriver motors to make it move.
Right. Yeah, as you kind of said with the everybody was just trying everything. Like, it seems as if that was also the same way that some of these events were set up, with the way that your first match in the tournament was a dual, like, kind of singles match where four robots went in at one time, but like you were kind of, it was you against Edgar, and then there was another two robots that were fighting against each other at the same time. But like, were you allowed to like interact and fight each other, or is it just a case of, right, this is your opponent, don't bother with those two?
Yeah, you were supposed to stick on your side of the arena, because they would basically divide the arena in half, except they didn't actually have a divider, and they'd put two robots on one side and two on the other side and run two fights at once. But people would often wander over the line and sometimes mix it up with the other robot too, even though they weren't supposed to. They did that mostly to save time, just because the event was only 3 days long and they had too many featherweights.
Yeah.
So one thing a lot of teams did was bring a heavyweight, and then to get extra members for their team, throw in a featherweight too. And a featherweight would sometimes be something like an RC car with a saw glued to the front or something, you know, not a serious entry.
But just for the thrill of the show?
Just to get extra team members.
Right.
Heavyweights, you know, you'd still only get, I think, two people on your team.
Okay.
So if they need more help, they'd also bring a featherweight, and it would get wrecked in its first fight. So, but, you know, that would just get them extra team members for their heavyweight.
That's actually moderately smart. Completely not what I thought when you said it originally. Spake done reasonably well through his first tournament, obviously getting wins over Edgar the Hate Bug, Yo Mama, and Bait Me, like some very creative names there. And then fell in the semifinals to your future partner in crime, funnily enough, the Wedge of Doom.
Yes, he built a very good wedge, and he basically built a scaled-down version of La Machine, and it was really effective. Yeah. And I just couldn't get my lifter arm underneath his robot, and he... Back at 96, you were allowed to win by pinning. So he just pinned my robot against the wall and won.
Okay, so is that exactly what that is? Just pinning the robot against the wall and for, like, what is the actual ruling with that?
The ruling was that you would pin the other robot against the wall and they would count it out. And at the end of the count out, you would have to back off and demonstrate that your robot could still move.
Okay.
There were a couple of matches where both robots, the robot underneath would sometimes get stuck, and then it would be considered a mutual knockout.
Right. Yeah, because I was watching a few of the matches before we started, and sometimes it did come up by pin, and I don't understand what that is. So
yeah, they changed that rule for 97. In 97, they didn't allow pinning as a way of winning anymore.
Yeah, I would argue that it's probably not exactly very fair, because then everyone would just be like, oh, let's put in as big a motor as we can have so that we have the most pushing power. And in a way, I'd say it's just kind of a boring way to win a fight.
Yeah, and there were a lot of fights in 96 that ended that way, so that's why they changed the rule.
Also, you were in a few rumbles in the 1996 show. So how did they come about? Were they just a case of, like, does anyone just want to put their robot in for a rumble? Or was it something that was, like, pre-planned? Or...
They basically just called out, you know, went around the pits, asked for people for a rumble, and, you know, I don't know if there was much scheduling for it or not. Mm-hmm. It was just a really loose event in the back in those days. The one thing that I did that was kind of unique in 96 was one of those rumbles was a team match where the robots were divided up into two teams, kind of arbitrarily picked, I think. And, you know, they just fought one team versus the other.
Okay.
But it was pretty much entirely just an exhibition thing to, you know, basically the rumbles were, a lot of them were to keep a show going while the big robots, while the heavyweights got ready for their final matches.
Right. Yeah.
So it was just whatever featherweights and lightweights are ready and up to run. Hey, you can be in a rumble.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I noticed that you were definitely in more than one of them, and that there ended up being about six rumbles overall. So It seemed as if, like, it was that was my assumption, was anyone want to have a match? Yes, absolutely. Let's go.
Pretty much, yeah. Also a handful of exhibition matches too. You know, people who specifically had a grudge against somebody else, and they both had working robots, so they would sometimes just set up a fight between them.
Was there any kind of fights from, like, different weight divisions against each other?
There was a fight in 97 between Steel at Work, which was a heavyweight, and WYSIWYG, which was a featherweight. And that was done partially because those were both robots from overseas, which was unusual back then. WYSIWYG was from the UK, and Steel at Work was from France, I think.
Okay.
And they were both wedges. So they put them in the arena, and the featherweight, WYSIWYG, ended up winning because Steel at Work couldn't run for more than a few seconds without breaking down. So.
Oh, dear.
You know, drove into a wall, and the shock of hitting the wall, I think it dislocated their drive chains or something, so.
Yeah, well, WYSIWYG was actually in the first season of Robot Wars. It was actually a stock robot because apparently there wasn't enough actual full-fledged teams to get the six episodes out that they wanted, so they had to put in a couple of stock robots, and WYSIWYG was one of them. So it's quite funny to see WYSIWYG's sort of origins in these on these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they were at Robot Wars 97, I think.
I'm pretty sure they were in one of the melees with you.
They may have been. I haven't gone back and looked at all of those, but yeah, I mean, they were kind of. I kind of recall it mostly just being a fast wedge robot.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was actually made of wood as well. They actually were. I just found it there. So what would be a kind of strategy in, like, a melee, really, if there even is a strategy?
Yeah, it depends on what you're trying to do, because, I mean, back then the melees barely had barely even had winners. So you're mostly just trying to drive around and show off and have fun. You know, I tried to pick out, when I was in the melees, I tried to pick out an individual opponent who I thought I could make a good showing against and go after them for a bit and then maybe switch up to a different target. But it was just a lot of, I mean, the melees back then, they didn't even really have winners. So it was mostly just trying to drive around and have fun and show off your robot, especially if you got knocked out early in the main competition and wanted to get more driving time in.